So I'll open up with a funny story that has nothing to do with my message this morning. My wife had shared with me something that took place last week. I had meetings morning and night. It was a lot of nights that I was out. And as any one of us would be, with four kids and doing it on your own, my wife's patience was tested. Is that safe? It got to the they were kind of out of sorts one night. And my wife just in frustration just said, you know what, just guys, everybody just go to bed. And you know what, usually, you know, we always pray with our kids before we go to sleep. And she said, you know what, I don't want to pray with you tonight. You just talk to God yourself. And I know nobody can relate with that at all, right? This is the best mom I've ever seen. I just want to go on record and say that, and I kid you not. But she said, you just talk to God yourself. I'm not, you know. And so she goes downstairs, and she started to get a little convicted by that. I have her permission to share this. And she started to think about where the word says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. And so she went upstairs into the boys' room. One of them was already sleeping. And she said to my son, David, mommy, sorry. I shouldn't have handled it like that. And she said, you know, the Bible says that I'm not to let the sun go down on my wrath. And so I just wanted to say I'm sorry, and we'll pray together. And so she prayed with him. And she was walking out the door, and he said, hey, Mom, does the Bible say anything about going to bed hungry? Because I'm starving. Snapshot into our life. Well, this morning, which I said has absolutely nothing, well, kind of has something to do with where I'm going today, but you can always tie something like that in. Let me also just say, also men, just as it kind of entered my mind before too, if you hadn't signed up, come to the meeting if you have any questions also. Don't think just because you didn't sign up yet, it's too late. It is not too late. Okay, so this morning we return back to our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And we come across some more very interesting words from our Savior. Remembering again the backdrop of this sermon that we began actually back in August of last year. Jesus is on a mountain and he is speaking to those who were his disciples, those who wanted to walk with the master. And so he is not addressing the crowd, but he is addressing those who were his disciples. And true to form, Jesus is now talking to them about asking God for things and how God responds to his children. Our text this morning is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12 we'll be looking at today. Let me just read that to you. I don't have that up on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's very interesting here what Jesus is doing. You see, we need to remember that those who Jesus was speaking to, these were folks who had been under the tutelage of the Pharisees. And having been under the tutelage, under the teaching of the Pharisees, their version of God, their teaching about communicating with God, they presented a God that you had to twist his arm to get something. They talked and taught about this distant deity that wanted nothing to do with his people unless, of course, he wanted to judge them, as modeled by the way that they interacted with the people. And so obviously this created a very unhealthy fear of God in the people. And now in walks Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount, and he is teaching them in ways and with an authority unlike they had ever heard before. In our text this morning, he begins to demystify God to them by presenting him as Father. If there is one thing that a father, every father, is familiar with, it's the petitions or the requests or the needs of their children. God has put it into the heart of a man to be a provider, to want to provide for those who are under his care. It's naturally in a man to do that. Why? Because that is the very nature of a giving God as well. Let's take a look here this morning. Matthew chapter 7, let's break it down a little bit. Ask, Jesus says, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened to you. This morning, I want to talk about the way that we come to God and the way in which God responds back to his people. I can't think of another topic in Christianity that we can discuss that's more important than discussing how do we actually, what does that relationship with God look like? How do we communicate? Because everybody knows the key to any kind of relationship is communication. And so we see here Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, he receives. Everyone who knocks, it's open. My first point to you this morning is that God is not bothered by your prayers. God is not bothered or put off by your prayers. I know for some people, when I communicate God as Father, that it is anything but helpful. Because maybe your understanding, your experience with your father has been painful. Maybe your father has been abusive to you. Maybe your father has been uncaring to you. Maybe when I use this word father, things pop into your mind that have taken you years, or maybe you're still trying to work through those things. And so when I say to you this morning that God is your father, and for some of you, maybe that thought repulses you. And I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, if that's your experience, I'm so sorry. But I want you to know that your heavenly father is not like your earthly father. You see, we read these words of Jesus calling God our father. And maybe a whole host of emotions come up, but we need to separate our experience from what the Bible says about our father. He wants you to come to him. Your father in heaven cares about you. He wants your time. He wants you to know his plan for your life, his purpose for your life. Your heavenly father wants you to know how wonderful he is, how majestic he is, how awesome he is, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. Don't think for one minute that your father is put off by your prayers. Jesus says, no, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It's interesting choice of words that Jesus uses here. If we got real honest this morning, I think that if we thought about it, when trials come our way or questions that need to be answered, when we're going through something, oftentimes when we go through something, the first thing we do is go to a friend. We literally go knocking on the door of somebody else and saying, well, what do you think about this? How do you think I should handle this? Am I saying, the scripture says in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. I'm not saying that that's not important to do. But what Jesus is saying here is, listen, the first place you need to go is go knocking on the door, if you will, of your heavenly Father. Because his ear is open to your cry. And what Jesus is saying here is, before you go knocking on the door of anywhere else, go knocking on the door of the only one who's capable of meeting your real needs. Come knocking on the door of your Father, for it is there and only there that you will, not only your needs will be met, but listen, it is there that they will be defined, what your needs are. And before we go knocking on the door of anyone else, and everybody else will say, well, of course you ought to do this. This is what I think. This is what you deserve. No, before we go knocking on the door of anywhere else, bring our needs to God. And God has a very special way of helping us to define what those needs really are. How many of you know a lot of our needs are wants? I've seen this passage, as have you, taken so far out of context to mean that no matter what you want, your Father is going to give it to you. And that's just not true. It's become known, what has become known as the name it and claim it theology. Like God is some genie in a bottle. And if you just rub him the right way, you'll get three wishes. Your Father loves you too much to have that kind of relationship with you. Hey, my two-year-old loves a stove. If I just gave him what he wanted, he'd walk around with third-degree burns or worse. But I love him too much to give him what he wants. And it's the same thing with our Father. He loves us. Listen, he doesn't say no because he doesn't want us to enjoy things. He doesn't say no because he's trying to keep us from having a wonderful life. He says no to protect us. In the same way that when I grab my two-year-old away from the stove, he understands, we're working on him understanding that, right? But I know I'm doing what is best for him. Your Father loves you too much to give you what you think you need. We must go to our Father to have our needs met, but we must first go with a pure persistence, as our title suggests. Because sometimes the things that we want are the furthest things from the things that we need. And God wants us to come to him first. He is approachable. In fact, there has been a tremendous price that has been paid so that we can come to him. There has been a tremendous price on a hill called Calvary where blood had been shed, where separation had took place so that you and I can have access to our Father. Look what Hebrews writes, Hebrews chapter 11. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, even as we are, yet without sin. Look, I love this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There has been a tremendous price that has been paid so we can have access. Will we use that? Your Father wants you to come to him. Note the words, ask, seek, knock. All of these words are said in the present tense. In other words, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God is looking for people who will be persistent in their pursuit of him. Hey, remember the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18? I'm not going to go there this morning, but how this widow who kept approaching the judge for justice, finally after her persistence continued, he gave her what she needed. Her persistency won his favor, and God is looking for people who will be persistent in pursuing him. Not for salvation, but because we've been given a relationship with the Father, because we've been given a relationship with him. Hey, heaven knows that he has been certainly persistent in drawing us to himself, hasn't he? And what God is looking for is a people who will be persistent in their pursuit of a relationship with him. I like what Ari Torrey said. He said, if we put so little heart into our prayers, we cannot expect God to put much heart into answering them. And you see, as we continue to grow in our Christian walk, it's not that God raises the bar or makes the hoop smaller for us to jump through, but what he is passionate about is having a relationship with us where there's a reciprocation, if you will, where we can go to him as our Father and express our heart and love on him. Nobody wants to be a part of a relationship where there's only one person pursuing the other. And neither does God. God initiated the original act of pursuit. As he drew us to himself, Jesus said, nobody comes to me unless the Father draws him. And now what God is looking for is us as his people, as redeemed, blood-bought child of God, who are madly in love with their Savior, that we would pursue him. Your Father is not bothered by your prayers. Secondly, your Father does not ridicule your prayers either. He does not ridicule your prayers. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Somewhere people have picked up the idea that when something bad happens to them, it's God getting back at them. Or God is mad with them. Or, you know, God is just angry. Or like God just doesn't take our prayers serious. Like he's some distant deity in the heavens who are saying, hey, just pull my finger. God does not operate like that. He is not this deity that needs to be figured out and manipulatively controls the affairs of his people. And we've been taught in school that there's no such thing as what? Dumb questions. And then we ask one. And while the teacher doesn't say anything, but all of our friends, right? So we've been conditioned to say, I know what they said, but that's not true. And in the same way, we look and say, well, I can't bring this to God because, well, he's God. And that's just not true. You could bring anything to your Heavenly Father. He will not ridicule you. He will not distance himself from you. He knows what you have need of before you ask, the scripture says. So why do we ask? Because he wants us to come to him. He wants us to build that relationship with him. He is awesome, yes. He is powerful, yes. He is holy. He is sovereign. He is unlike anything we can ever imagine or anything we've ever experienced. And yet, he is Daddy God. He is the very lover of our souls who wants his children to come upon his knee and just learn of him. Building that relationship with him. Never think for a moment that God is too busy for you. Never think for a moment that God does not want you or that God is going to ridicule you or that your prayer is not important enough. Too many times I've heard people say, don't pray for me. There's other people who have a lot worse situations than I do. And yes, that's true, but you know what? God can handle all of it. God can handle all of it. And so what you think may be small means a lot to your Father. Now, as I said before, this obviously doesn't mean that we get anything we want, but he gives us what we need and the timing that we need it. Don't think for one minute that because God has not yet answered your prayer, that he has not heard it. God always answers prayer. He always answers it in one of three ways. He will say yes, he will say no, or he will say my favorite, wait. I'll take a solid no over wait anytime, I'll be honest with you. That way I can just kind of move on to the next thing, right? But God always answers our prayers. Listen, he doesn't always answer them in the time frame because there's other things that he's working on, things that he's putting together so that when the answer comes, it will be whole, it will be complete, and it will bring glory to God. And listen, it will always benefit you because he loves you. And so your Father is not bothered by your prayers. Your Father will not ridicule your prayers. And thirdly, and it's so important, I remember, your Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. Look at verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? If you then, being evil, I'm sure that got some attention on the mountain that day. I'm sure that kind of raised an eyebrow for a moment. But Jesus is using hyperbole here to demonstrate the love and the care that God has for his children. That's something many of us can relate to here, right? Those of us who have children, you know, there's no greater love. There's the magnitude of your love that you have for this little one. It's like words fail. To try and describe the kind of love that you have this one. And what Jesus is saying here is that kind of a love. Now, you being evil, if you can love your child like that, you being tainted by sin, how much more your Father, who knows no sin, who is literally the embodiment of all love, who is, now he doesn't just love, he is love. How much more will that Father give good things? See, there's nothing we wouldn't do for our kids. There's nothing we wouldn't do to protect them. There's nothing we wouldn't do to shield them from, we would do anything for them. And we have been touched by sin. How much more our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in everything he is and everything he does, how much more will he give good things to those who ask him? I like the phrase that Jesus uses here. He says, give good things. Give good things. You see, the things that God gives meet so much more of the need than what we originally asked for. All right? We're only asking for this, and God is saying, you don't understand. My plan for you isn't this. My plan for you is this. And that's sometimes why there's a delay. That's why sometimes it looks a lot different than what we had originally been asking for. You see, the things that God gives us meet so much more than what we've asked for. How many times, I'm sure that we can have testimony after testimony here this morning, where how many times have you said, I asked God to do this, and he did that, but so much more. He blew my mind. We asked our kid for, we asked the Lord for a boy. I got four of them now. But so many of us can tell our story and say, you know, there's been so many times where I've asked God for something, and man, he met my need and so far exceeded my expectations. There's a great story about this in First Kings with Solomon. I love this story. Listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? I love that. Let's stop there for a second. Imagine that. God coming and visiting you and saying, getting in your presence, saying, ask, what shall I give you? I don't know about you, but man, my I know we'd all say, can I have three more wishes? That's what I really want, right? No, God comes to Solomon and says, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Speaking of himself, look, now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out or to come in. Let's just stop there for a second. What he's referring to here is oftentimes when this term child is used, it's referring to a servant who is inexperienced or in over his head. And what Solomon is saying here, he's saying, I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. And look, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart. He asks for wisdom to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Let me just kind of highlight something for a second. What an incredible truth. This is another whole, we can go another whole direction. I won't, but I'll touch on it. What an incredible insight that Solomon has here. He looks and he says to God, God, I'm in over my head. You've put me in a position where you've entrusted your people into my hands, this great group of people, and all I want is the wisdom to do a good job. You know what that is? We call that humility. He didn't just kind of spin it like he had a handle on this stuff. And you know what? Oftentimes, I know for myself this, oftentimes, I look at this incredible congregation. I could so much relate with this. Not that I have the wisdom of Solomon, but I have the insecurities of Solomon. Where you look at this great group of people that God has entrusted to this church. And there's been so many times that I've actually used those words, God, I'm in over my head. Just give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And see, what was so beautiful about Solomon is he had a heart of humility. He realized he didn't have all the answers. And so he says, God, give me wisdom that I may honor you in this role that you put me in. This speech pleased the Lord, verse 10 says, of course it did, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life, which so many would, and have not asked for riches, which so many would, you have not asked for the life of your enemies, and so many would, but you've asked for yourself an understanding heart to discern people. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart so that there has not been one like you before and there will be not like anyone like you afterwards. And look at verse 13. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commands as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Wow. The way Solomon handled this with humility impressed God. And he said, not only am I giving you what you're asking for, I'm going to give you what you don't ask for. And you know what? That is how God deals with his people. So many times we're asking for something and God gives us even what we don't ask for. And so many of you, I see you shaking your heads and going, yeah, it's amazing. God does that because he's incredible. He's awesome. He loves us. I wish I could give it to you more theologically than that. He's just incredible. That's the kind of father that he is. Well, so then why aren't my prayers answered? Hey, that makes for some good theory, Pastor, but why does it seem that my consistent petitions appear to go unnoticed by this Father that you say loves me? Well, three possibilities that I'll, and there's others, three that I'll touch on for a moment. Number one, did we ask in faith? Did you make your request to God in faith? Look at James. James says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Let him ask in faith. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Hey, Pastor, it sounds like you're getting a little hyper faith on us. Listen, we need to be very careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't let the manipulation of Scripture by some TV preacher cause us to miss the importance of coming to God and making requests of God in faith. Jesus said it. The Word of God affirms it. Just because somebody manipulated it so he can get some money out of your pocket doesn't take the truth of what the Scripture says away. Listen, it's kind of like this. If say my son comes up to me, I hope you don't mind me always using my kids in, as my examples, but as they get older, they won't let me do this, so I figure I'll get them all out now. But say my son comes to me up, you know, my 7-year-old David, who seems to always be hungry, and he comes over to me and he says, Dad, I had a long night's sleep last night and I'm hungry. Is it all right if I have some breakfast? How many of you know I'd be like, what? Are you kidding me? You're my son. I want you to come and ask me for it. That's silly. I don't want you to hesitate in coming to me. You need to realize that when you come into my presence, David, when you come into my presence, son, child of God, I want you to come and be free to ask me boldly because I am your father. And what James is saying here is when you come to God with your request, come in faith. Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace. not arrogantly. Well, what's the difference? When we come arrogantly to the throne of grace, we're coming to the throne of grace because of who we are. But when we come boldly to the throne of grace, as the scripture teaches, we are coming because of whose we are. Do you see the difference? In and of ourselves, we are nothing. But when we realize that I am a blood-bought child of God, that I realize that God has taken me when I was dead and gave me life again, and he paid a price for me on Calvary, that I am now a child of God, I can come boldly to him. And that's what he's looking for us to do. Not arrogance, but boldness. Having confidence that we can approach our Father. So do we ask in faith? Secondly, do we ask with sin in our lives? Are there areas of our lives that we need to? Why doesn't God answer our prayers? This is what we're talking about. Well, do we have sin in our lives? Are there areas that we need to go before the Lord or to others on? Hey, guys, check this one out. Listen, husbands, ready? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, dwell with them with understanding, speaking of your wives. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together for the grace of life. Look, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Do you realize, man, that if when you let conflict in your marriage and you distance yourself from your wife, you are also distancing yourself from maybe being able to take a hold of the hem of his garment? Your prayers will be hindered. And so sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayer, maybe there's some things we need to work on in a relationship with our spouse, or look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. We covered this a number of weeks ago. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, what is that? That's worship. When we bring our gift to the altar, that's worship. And there at the altar, you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. He's saying, hey, listen, if your prayers aren't being hindered, take a look at your life and see if there's areas that you need to go and make things right on. Before you come and worship by putting your gift on the altar, first go and worship by making things right, because that is an act of worship. Reconciliation is an act of worship. And then thirdly, why doesn't God answer our prayers? Well, are we praying according to the will of God? Are we praying, my will be done, or thy will be done? We've covered the words of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, where he says, where Jesus, in teaching to pray, taught us that we ought to pray by saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Too many times we want what we want, but it's not what God wants to give us. Not because he doesn't want us to be happy, as I said before, but he wants us to be holy. And he knows the things that we need. He knows the things that we need, but he knows the things that we want may keep us from that. The psalmist wrote, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Another scripture twisted. What does that mean? I'm just going to delight myself in the Lord, and anything I want, I can just name it and claim it? No. As I delight myself in the Lord, as I put Christ as center of my life, listen, he will literally put into you the things that you ought to be desiring. See, God's will is not hard to figure out. It's hard to figure out when we put too much of our will in there. And then we got to sift through what's me, what's not me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll put into your will, into you the things that you ought to be desiring. I like what William Barclay said. He said, true prayer is asking God for what he wants. Like that? True prayer is asking God for what he wants. What you want and what he wants may not always be the same thing, but listen, it'll always be the better thing. Another reason why God doesn't seem to answer our prayers, you ready? And I know you won't like this answer, but you know what? It's just not time yet. It's just not time yet. I know some of you are here going, hey, you know what? Listen, I've searched my heart. I've asked my wife. I've gone to my pastor. I've done everything that's in my power to do, and God still hasn't come through yet. He knows the path that you take. And in due time, you will come forth as gold. It will take place. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Let me close with this quote from an unknown Confederate soldier. He writes, "I asked God for strength that I may achieve, and I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do greater things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, and I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men, and I was given weakness that I may feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I may enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." See, God doesn't always give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And do it with a pure heart. And your Father, who is the embodiment of love, will give you what you need that will best glorify your Father in heaven. For that is the chief purpose of man, but it will always bring us from where we are to where God wants us to be. Father, we thank you for your word. It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so many times we have these preconceived ideas of how you relate with your children. If it's all boiled down to one thing, you just desired that we would communicate with you openly and honestly and consistently. May we, as your people, be a people who communicate with our God, yield and surrender to your leadings and your guidings, so that you might be glorified in us and through us. Thank you for this great group of people. Oh God, I pray your blessing upon them and the families that which they represent. Thank you for what you're doing at Integrity Christian Fellowship. There's so many nicer buildings people can go to, so many more eloquent preachers they can sit under. But thank you that they're here. I pray your blessing upon them. As we continue to spiritually grow as a congregation, Lord, may we never lose focus of what is important. And that is bringing honor to you, keeping you as the greatest personality in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.